Hello and welcome to the December 2007 Learn at Lunch featuring John Smith. John is a counselor with the UCSD Faculty and Staff Assistance Program. He's a licensed clinical social worker who has counseled hundreds of faculty and staff over the 17 years tenure at UCSD. John delights us with his remarkable and quirky sense of humor. Today, his topic is aging brilliantly, living vibrantly. Please join me in welcoming John Smith.
Welcome, everyone. We're talking about aging brilliantly, living vibrantly. If I can ask a show of hands, who woke up today and said, I am so thankful that I'm aging? No one. Okay. The point of that is that the topic's a little misleading because all of us have expected reactions to aging. None of us really like aging. I said when before we started the camera that my daughter reminded me just the other day that, Dad, you're starting to look more and more like Grandpa. I think we're programmed not to like aging, but the real challenge is, no matter what our age, can we use the brilliance of our wisdom to make decisions for health and happiness whenever possible? You have two handouts here. Two packets, actually. And if folks see this on the computer at some point, they can email me at j2smith@ucsd.edu, and I will send them these packets, but you have to give me your mail code because I have to send them to you by snail mail. In the first is the information we will be talking about. In the second are resources and exercises that I think people can do related to this topic. All right. So. For those of you who have seen me before, I'm very interactive. We don't just sit and look at the paper. I apologize that we don't have a PowerPoint. I think a PowerPoint makes us kind of lazy. We come, we sit down, and then we read what the person has put up there. But this is not a reading exercise. This is an interactive exercise. So the first thing I'm going to ask you all to do is stand up. We're going to stand up. Can you do that? Except for the person eating, you don't have to stand up. Now I'm going to ask you to sit down. Terrific. And now I'm going to ask you to stand up again. How silly do we feel? Now I'm going to ask you to sit down. If you go to the first page, the second page of the handout, the green page, this is information taken from a book called Younger Next Year. And what I've just done for you is I've just said to your body, although as ridiculous as it sounds, I just said to your body, you want to continue to grow and develop. Because when we come into the room and we settle in, I'm 55 now, I just love to settle in. Nothing like a nice chair. Actually, what we're saying to our body is that we're ready to rot away. The Younger Next Year book, I love it because it's so brutally honest. They talk about the fact that we are biological creatures, and that as biological creatures, we're meant to grow and develop, but at some point, we're meant to rot away, right? All biological forms of life have their time on Earth and eventually rot away. Our muscles are meant to fade away. The point of this book, though, is that if you can choose other activities. So basically, the first couple of things. You do have to age, but you don't have to rot. Decay is optional, and normal aging isn't normal. Right? So just think of the way that we think about aging and the things that we say. I'll often say, well, not bad for an old man. But so much of who we are, the quality of life, and the things that we do really have to do with our choices. So they say, you do have to age, but you don't have to rot. Decay is optional, and normal aging isn't normal. So now I'm going to ask you to do a second thing. I'm going to ask you to get up again. Now, the point of this is that to be as alive as possible when we're aging takes effort, and we're asked to do some things that are uncomfortable. What I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to go introduce yourself to someone here you don't know, And I'm going to ask you to share with that person, right? I'm going to go to a person you don't know. Oops, I'm sorry. And we're going to share with that person the food that we know we shouldn't be eating as much as we eat. All right? So it'd be look like this. I'd say, hi, my name is John, and I know I shouldn't be eating chocolate. All right? So find someone you don't know, introduce yourself, and share with them the food you shouldn't be eating. Okay. Very good. Very good. And I know this looks ridiculous if you're sitting at your computer, and I apologize. I'm hopefully going to tie this all together. Now what I want you to do is I want you to go introduce yourself to another person you don't know. Just move around a little bit. Introduce yourself to another person you don't know. And I want you to share with that person the thing that gives you the most pleasure in your life. Okay? Go introduce yourself to someone else and share with that person the thing that gives you the most pleasure in your life. Okay, now you can have a seat. Now, I trust that for some people that wasn't that comfortable. In fact, probably some of you said, I'm sorry I even came here. But some of the things that the experts suggest that I'm going to go over now basically challenge people of a certain age to start doing some things that aren't particularly comfortable for the purpose of having the healthiest and happiest life possible. And those things are listed at the bottom of this green page, which you can see if you're sitting at your computer. And this is from the book Younger Next Year, but this is consistent across the board. If you want to be as healthy as possible, if you want to make choices for happiness and health, if you don't want to allow your body to prematurely age, and actually the title of this book isn't just Younger Next Year. The title is, How Do You Stay As Healthy As You Are at 50 Into Your 80s? Right? So they basically say you have to get a new start, and they suggest that this is your full-time job, your full-time focus, and they say four things. And almost every book says the same four things. The first is that you have to exercise vigorously. Now, because we're older and we have some wisdom, we know that for some of us, we can exercise vigorously. For some, it has to be more moderately. For some of us, we can't even exercise moderately. So we have to use the brilliance of our wisdom to understand that the exercise prescription has to be consistent with who we are. I saw a quote from Armstrong the other day, Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong, one of the world's greatest athletes, says the following, quitting is forever, pain is temporary. And I thought to myself, Lance is not yet 50 years old because he's going to have a heck of a lot of pain when he's 50 and older, right? Because at our age, pain is pretty consistent. It's there most of the time. We have to learn how to manage it, right? So the number one thing is to exercise vigorously. These authors, and they have a book for both men and for women, and the reference is in this handout. These authors say you should do it up to 6 days a week. Exercise vigorously 6 days a week. The second thing, and part of the exercise was around the food we eat, everyone in this room knows the food you shouldn't be eating, right? The second thing they suggest is change the way that you eat. I know Rosalie, my colleague here, likes chocolate a lot, likes to have certain kinds of sandwiches, and I'm always saying, Rosalie, you need to change the way you eat. She throws the sandwich at me usually. All right? Because basically, although we think this is a wonderful thing, this body, and it is a wonderful thing, it's simply a machine. And does anyone in the room know of a machine that holds up as well as this machine has held up for over 50 years? But we have to begin to feed the body things that really make it feel alive and younger. Because I don't know about you, the digestive system seems to get very finicky after a certain age. So the second thing they say is to change the way you eat. The third thing they say is to find an interest and throw yourself into it. There has to be some passion later in your life. That's why I had you share with each other the thing that kind of makes you feel most alive or most exciting in your life. When we are 20, there's lots of things that we feel passionate about. When we're 50 and 60, those things may have fallen by the wayside. But rather than grieving the loss of the things we can no longer have or do, we have to reframe it and find new things that keep us alive and healthy. And the fourth thing, and probably the hardest thing, was the uncomfortable part of the exercise where I asked you to go meet someone new, introduce yourself. The fourth vital thing they say to having a healthy and vibrant life is you have to stay deeply committed to keeping a vibrant social network. You have to meet new people. And if it's hard for you now, it's going to be hard for you at 75 or 80, right? Now, this is what all the experts suggest. But my experience is it's easier said than done. So in our little time together, we're going to talk about the body, the mind, and the spirit, and some of the opportunities for and obstacles to making these things happen. But before we do that, does anyone have any questions about any of this? Any reactions? It's so simple, but hard to get ourselves to do it. So now I'm going to ask you to go to the brown sheet here. The brown sheet in the handout, if you ever get it. The brown sheet here, called Obstacles to and Opportunities for. This is a little bit about our mind. And I like to address the mind because it's not uncommon for people as they get to be 45, 50, 55, 60 to start getting a little grumpy and crabby about life. What is that all about, and how can we escape that in some way, shape, or form? So the first thing I'll say to you from this handout is what all the, not that I'm a great scholar, all the great scholars and teachers of the world have said the same thing. Know yourself. By this age, you probably already have a good sense of who you are, right? This is who I am. This is what I do best. This is what I'd like to do. This is who I would like to be. Sometimes I'll start workshops and I'll say, raise your hand if you woke up today and said, today's going to be the happiest day of my life. Who woke up today and said, today's going to be the happiest day of my life? Right, nobody. Okay. Who woke up today and raise your hand if you said, today I'm going to pay attention to the person I always wanted to be. Today I'm going to be a happy person for no reason at all. Okay, one person, two person, three person. So we have three people who are basically stretching the truth today. Right? So know yourself, know what you need to do, know who you are, and learn to both identify what you need to do and what you need to give up. One of the ways that life changes after 50 is that some of the things that we believed before 50, so one of the things we were all taught as we grow up is that quitters never win and winners never quit. When we get to our age, we have to learn to quit and release and start anew. So quitting is something that we all have to start doing more easily. And in your working packet there, there's actually a quitting exercise, right? These are the things I hoped for. These are the things that are no longer possible. These are the things that I'm willing to release and let go. So I say on the handout, know yourself, embrace what's true, give up, quit, and release what no longer works. A very wise person once said, don't rely on your enthusiasm and don't believe your doubt. Whatever you decide to do today, and I'm assuming everyone came here with a particular interest, hunger, excitement for something different. If I don't touch that place in you today, go find it somewhere else, right? Because each of us wants a better life. But you can't rely on your enthusiasm and you can't allow your doubt to pull you down. You have to make a commitment and stick to that commitment. I say the third thing here is to understand your mind. It is not you, it is a tool. And I'm really saying this as a reflection of what happens to the grumpy mind as we get older. You have to learn how your mind works so that you work with it and it doesn't work you. And I'm going to give you a little example of what I'm talking about. When each of you was a little boy or girl, you were about 2 or 3 years old, you were laying in bed and you called your mommy and your daddy in and you said what? You said, there's a monster under the bed. There's a monster under the bed. And no matter what they told you, for weeks and months, you still believe that there's a monster under the bed, didn't you? Right? It's so important to understand that dynamic about the mind. The mind's job is to keep us safe. That's the job. And the way that it does that is it scans the environment for danger, even when danger doesn't exist. Does that make sense? Okay, and even though we outgrow the monster under the bed fear, the mind continues to scan for danger. We are vigilant for our own safety. How does that apply to us when we get to be 50, 60, and 70? We get very crabby, grumpy, and angry about things. Why? Because the mind continues to scan for danger, right? Pay attention to how it works so you work with the mind and the mind doesn't work you, right? So I say you have to laugh at your grumpiness. The world will be fine. You hear so many people our age complaining about teenagers, about the world, about the environment. Trust me, the world is going to be here long after we're gone. And we have nothing to worry about. The truth is we all will eventually die. We don't have to worry about that. It's going to happen. But we're trying to have the best possible life. We don't want you to spend any time worrying about the younger generation, what's wrong with those teenagers, everything's changing. And on it goes, the older mind. All right? And the last thing I want to say in terms of mind-body is that each of us in our lives, as the result of our experience, has had our own shares of hardships, traumas, pain. Please do whatever you can to free yourself from that so that in your future years, those things won't hold you back, right? So going to counseling, going to a support group, something to free you up so that the exercise vigorously, getting new passions, finding new folks, eating right, all that falls into place because you're ready to make it happen. Any questions, thoughts, or reactions to that? No, that was terrific and pretty boring. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the purple page, and we're going to talk about laughter. Actually, if you go to the front page, and then we're going to go to laughter. On the front page here, we have the research. If you're thinking about having a better life, no matter what your age, the research indicates that you can do the following thing. These are the things that make you feel good, and these are the things that your brain really, really likes. They've done brain chemistry research, and these are the issues that really stimulate people. So if you're sitting around saying, God, I'm a little bored, I'm not feeling so well, what do I need to do to have a better life? Here's what they say. The research says you can dance, love, listen to music, gamble a little bit. I'm not telling you to go out and gamble, but I think people need a little challenge, a little stimulation. Trust a lot, stay optimistic, commit random acts of kindness, meditate, follow where your curiosity leads, and above all else, laughter. Keep on laughing. Everything related to health has a laughter component. So we're going to spend a couple of minutes on that. All right, so go back to the purple page. All right. Laughter is so important because, as the page says, when you laugh or smile, your brain chemistry changes and the body is affected in a healthful way. But just like everything else about our body, what happens is as we get older, we start laughing less, right? We actually tend to have more expertise at saying what's not funny. How many times have you heard someone say, that's not funny, that's not funny, that's not funny? And we can all sit around in a meeting. We can actually show a film that's quite funny, and a lot of people our age will just say, oh, that's not funny. It's almost like we become resistant to laughing. I don't know why. And they've actually done research. They say that children laugh about 300 times a day, which is probably why they're healthier and have more energy than we do. And people our age laugh about 15 times a day if we're lucky. Right? And if you laugh 15 minutes a day, every day of a whole year and don't change anything else, you lose 5 pounds. Right? So it's good for us, body, mind, and soul, and we lose weight. Right? So not only do we have to kickstart our health, I'm going to use this as an example. We're going to use laughter as an example for the other parts of our life. Some of you don't know this about me, but I'm a certified laughter leader, so we're going to spend a little time having a little laughter demonstration and feeling the effects of it. right? But these are all the positive benefits of laughter. It helps us relax. It helps us feel better. It exercises our hearts, our lungs. We are happier and healthier people when we laugh more, right? We are happier and healthier people when we exercise more. So I'm going to ask you all to stand up, okay? So this is part of the whole Living Vibrantly thing. There's a thing called laughter yoga. I'm going to do a little laughter yoga exercise now. I want you to put down your papers. You at sitting at your computers, you can't do this, and you're going to think it's pretty silly, but try it when you get a chance. All right? Laughter yoga involves breathing, stretching, laughing, and clapping. And if you have nothing else to do and you want to feel stimulated, push yourself away from your computer. Move. You can always move. You can always stretch. You can always breathe. And believe it or not, you can always laugh. The difficulty with laughter is that we wait to be stimulated to laugh. Just like the difficulty with exercise is we wait until we feel like it. The research indicates we can't afford to wait. We're over 45. What are you waiting for? There's a poem in your handout, the poem we all know about, "When I Get Old, I Think I'll Wear Purple." Does everyone know that thing? It's in your handout, right? She says, when I get older, I'm going to wear purple. I'm going to spend my money more frivolously. I'm going to have more fun. But my message for you is, we don't have to wait. What are we waiting for? Okay? So we're just going to try this, a little wacky, a little uncomfortable, but doing what they suggest is a little wacky and uncomfortable. So I'm just going to ask you to kind of stand here and just move your shoulders a little bit as you take soft, deep breaths. Breathe in and breathe out. I just want you to, hands up, breathe in and breathe out. Now I'm going to ask you to do something really silly. Breathe in, and when you breathe out, just make the sound of laughter. Boy, that's silly, huh? Breathe in. Just the sound of laughter. Good. I want you to reach down with your right hand as if you're picking up flowers. And as you come up, just breathe deeply. Other hand, reach down. Breathe in. Breathe deeply. Both hands, reach down. Breathe deeply. And as you let those arms out, just make the sound of laughter. Okay. We can laugh whenever we choose to laugh, and they find out that facilitated laughter or the decision to laugh has the same positive effect as laughing, right? So I'm going to show you a little laughter exercise that I'm going to have you do, and I'm going to show you some things that you can do at home. So I'm going to show you the yoga laughter, clap and laugh, and then I'm going to ask you to do it with me. It goes like this. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Try it. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Terrific. Now, we were demonstrating this for some children somewhere in the Midwest, these laughter people, laughter yoga people, and a little boy said, you know, I love that ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. It makes me feel so alive. But at the end of it, we should say, yay. Ready? So you're going to do three ho, ho, ha, ha, ha's, and then say yay. Ready? Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Yay. Good, good, good. Take a deep breath in. And just as you're letting it out, make the sound of laughter. We're going to take a deep breath in. We're going to let our bodies go forward. And as our bodies go forward, we're going to make the sound of laughter. Ready? Deep breath in. And make the sound of laughter. Okay. In all laughter groups, and this is just a small little experience of using laughter to stimulate us, we have a laughter greeting where we go from person to person. We shake hands. Right? It's called the aloha laugh, and we make the laughter sound. So we say something like this, aloha. So I'd like you to try, even though it seems silly, just for the experience of what's it like to laugh and come alive with laughter, I just want you to go from person to person and just say, aloha. Ready? Go ahead. Aloha. Aloha. Okay. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Yay. Good. One more thing. I want this is something that I do often. I'm going to suggest that you do it as a form of exercise. Okay? You're walking down the street, and as you're walking, you're breathing in And with every exhale, you go, ha, 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 ha. It looks like this. It's quite silly, but you do it when people aren't watching you. All right, so just try that a couple of times. Okay, I want you to have a seat. Okay, what I want you to do is just choose a partner just for a minute. Talk about what that laughter exercise was like, how you felt when you started, and if it stimulated you in any way at all. Okay? Just touch base with people. All righty, come have a seat again. Okay, what was that like for folks? Pleasant. Okay. If anyone wants more information about laughter yoga, or if your department would like a laughter yoga experience, usually it's about 20 to 30 minutes. We do a bunch of laughter exercises. It's usually very stimulating. It does have elements of discomfort, because we're asking you to laugh for no reason, right? But the whole issue is, as we're getting older, we have to start doing things a little uncomfortable for a very good reason, right? And the reason is for health and vitality, right? There are a couple of websites, laughteryoga.org and worldlaughtertour.com, if you wanted more information about laughter. That was simply a demonstration of one of the many different things that you can add to your life in order to feel more alive and more vibrant. All right, any questions or thoughts about that? Okay, I want to go to this color page. And as a therapist, Rosalie and I are therapists, I did have to throw a little bit more of this in, because a lot of the books that you read give great advice. The challenge is to making it happen for yourself and to removing obstacles to the things that are going to take away some of your vitality and happiness. So this is about self-soothing, self-healing, and healing. I'll often say to people, and we'll talk a little bit about it, on the days you have a choice, choose happiness. But for many of us, we know on some days, we kind of don't have a choice. Something's happened in our lives that really has us concerned or worried and overwhelmed. So then what are we to do? Then what we're going to focus on is self-soothing, self-healing, and taking care of the parts of ourselves that need some kind of healing expression. So you deserve to have your say. And if you want to free yourself up from some of the wounding of life, please go to counseling, support groups, interest groups, anything that's going to help you with that. And do more of the things that make you feel good. Sometimes people wake up, and we'll talk a little bit about the daily intent. What I suggest to people is they make a daily intent each day. Today is going to be, and oftentimes it can be as simple as, today is going to be a day where I feel as good as I can feel. Focus on what you can do each day to feel good. But if you are someone that has repetitive thoughts, and we all do, things that come back to you, things that bother you, I just give you this little a schema from a very interesting author called Byron Katie from her work, Loving What Is, right? And Byron Katie uses this little cognitive exercise for any thought. So let's just say you wake up one day and you think, God, I'm feeling a little down in the dumps today. Usually, if you're married, you'll say, because my partner isn't the exact partner I want him or he or she to be. Boy, my husband is really a dope. All right, let's just say it's that thought, right? My husband's really a dope. And Byron Katie would say, free yourself from that thought. Ask yourself, is that true? Well, yeah, he's a dope most of the time. But is it always true 100% of the time? Maybe not. So then she says, who would you be without that thought? If you could release yourself from the thoughts that bother you, from the thoughts that torture you, who would you be? And most people are able to say, I think I'd be a little bit happier. All right? How do you react when you think the thought, and who would you be without it? Right? So just a little model that you can work with if something like this comes up. If there's something that needs to be healed, come to counseling. If not, create something for yourself that helps you get through some of the trouble spots. Any questions or thoughts about that? You know, when I was putting this together, I said to Rosalie, you know, Rosalie, I'm just going to throw a bunch of stuff out there because actually this topic we could talk about for hours and hours. What can we possibly put out there in 45 minutes? So she said, all right, just throw a bunch of stuff out there and hopefully it'll be helpful, right? Okay, so the best possible day, last page. I started the day by saying, how many people woke up and said, today's going to be the happiest day of my life? All right? Not many people. So I say to you, why not? Most women believe that the happiest day of their life is going to be their wedding day. Right? And if you are married, you know that's usually not the happiest day of your life. That's usually one of the most stressful days of your life. But in terms of happiness, let me ask you this to ask yourself, what are you waiting for? Why can't today be as happy a day as possible? Most of us wake up and we say, I hope I get through this day. Right? I hope I make it through this day. And then our intent guides our day. So instead, I'm going to ask you to think about setting a daily intent for yourself. So here are some that other people have used. And actually, in your handout, there's one called Good-Hearted Living. He has an intent for each day, right? We can actually go to that. That's the blue one here, Good-Hearted Living, right? This is the guy who does laughter. He has a funny little schedule for his daily intent. He says, Mondays are for compliments. Tuesdays are for flexibility. Wednesdays are for gratitude. Thursdays are for kindness, Fridays are for forgiveness, and the weekends are for chocolate or anything that sweetens my life. And that's his intent for each and every day, right? Some of the things that I've worked with people around and people try is today's a day for happiness, today's a day to feel good, care deeply, see the beauty in the world. You set your intent and you see how it changes your day. We have to remember that because our eyes are scanning for danger, and because most of us start the day by reading the paper or watching the news, we forget about the beauty and the goodness in the world, right? So the day today can be, today as you leave here, you can say, today's going to be the day that I remember to see all the beauty that I can see today, right? To set the daily intent. In terms of the health, today I'm going to do whatever is possible to feel as healthy and happy as possible. All right? The second thing is, on this list, is know that I am the co-creator of my experience. And at our age, there's no time to waste. And the second question I ask is, who do I want to be today? Who do you want to be today when you start your day? Do you want to be someone who's caring, someone who's happy, someone who has fun? Who do you want to be today? In some ways, we have much more of a choice than we know. Right? It's helpful to have attitudinal supporters. So what do we surround ourselves with each and every day? Do you surround yourself with laughing people, happy people, fun people, or not? Right? React honestly to life and decide what's possible. On the days when things are not going well, can we at least choose the best possible thought or the best possible feeling? Is that my wife? Sorry. No, she always calls me at the wrong times. All right? So on the days where we say, gee, let's be happy, that's great. But on some days when times are tough, we have to ask ourselves, what's the best possible thought I can have about this challenge? What's the best possible feeling I can hold about this challenge? All right? Enjoy the ride when possible. Make quality of life decisions. Self-care and self-acceptance are always central. So now we'll do a laughter exercise. Okay. Do we have to wait? Are you picking that up? Okay. Okay. All right, the next one is enjoy the ride when possible. We all have enough experience in life to know that life is an up and down ride. Prepare yourself for the up and down ride. I remember a couple of years ago, a woman came into my office in the Faculty and Staff Assistance Program, and it was like the third week in January, and she said to me, "I'm so depressed." I said, "Why are you depressed?" She said, "Because my New Year's resolution was to be really happy." I said, "What happened?" She said, "Well, I promised myself to be really happy, and I'm not happy. And now I'm depressed because I'm not happy." Right? The truth is, if we set a goal for ourselves, we have to accept the truth of being a human being, and it's an up and down ride. If you set yourself on the road to happiness, you have to know that you're going to have your good days and your bad days. Your days you'll want to exercise, and your days you just won't exercise. The days you want to exercise and the days you're going to decide to have the second or third donut, right? Because not only does our mind want to keep us safe, it wants to promise us gratification. That's what the mind does. So the mind is the thing that whispers to us, have the second donut. Have the third donut. It's okay. Now, I say to you, if the food you're not trying to eat is donuts, but on that day you want to have them, enjoy the heck out of it. Right? So know that it's an up and down ride. Sorry at home, but there's banging and buzzing. I know it's not greatest presentation, but come on, you don't have to have that kind of commentary behind me. All right? So the next one is maintain your perspective. In each and every day, there's dozens of workplace and life dramas that you can get sucked into. Right? I'll often say in counseling, don't bite at the bait. Decide what dramas you want to be part of. Decide what games you want to play. Don't bite at the bait. And from those things you have no control over, do your best to detach with love. I don't know if anyone knows anything about recovery, but one of the steps of recovery is to detach with love. There's so many things going on in the world that are beyond our control. We have to try very hard not to be weighed down by them. We care, but we can detach with love. Decide where we're going to take action, what action we're going to take, and let the rest of it go. Make sense? All right? And then there's the whole issue of balance. So in life, for every yin, there's a yang. So the issues of laughter, touch, taste, song, color, movement, all the things that you know are out there to help you feel alive and as healthy and young and vibrant as possible. Any questions or thoughts? All right. Let's just go through this a little bit, and then we'll say goodbye. All right. The first one is when I am old, I will wear purple. Right? Nice little poem. There's a list of 4 or 5 books you might want to read. All pretty much saying the same thing. You have to exercise vigorously, you have to eat well, you have to make social contacts, and you have to find a passion and throw yourself into that passion. Right? A little handout here about the fun things you'd like to plan for the rest of your life, a little quitting exercise, and then good-hearted living, and then a laughter exercise. For those of you that didn't think that laughter was as wacky as the others did, you can actually get up every morning, and as you're laying in bed, stretch in bed, and as you breathe, just make the laughter sound. All right? And that hopefully will add to the vitality of your day. If there's no questions, thoughts, I think we're ending early. And Rosalie, if there's nothing else to do, we'll just send people back to work.
Does anyone have any questions? Any questions at all? Well, I want to thank you very much for coming today. It was a delightful Learn at Lunch. Thank you, John. A very happy holiday to each of you. Be healthy, be well, exercise, eat well.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.